The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Mighty God we serve. And so, how many of you appreciated Brother Glenn Sunday? Wasn't that awesome? There were a lot of people watching online, and we just love Brother Glenn and thank God that he was able to come and minister to us. And so, always a time of refreshing and joy. How many of you got your devotion read today? There was something in there that tore me up. This devotion, I'm telling you, you guys, I'm gonna assign picking the next one for Luke or Pastor Corey, because to try to do this one is a mess. Did it speak to anybody tonight when Brother Bonnke said that we are not lawyers for Jesus? That hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't have to sell Jesus. Well, I said that a couple of weeks ago, remember? We're not used car salesmen. I don't have to sell Jesus. I don't have to defend Jesus. C.S. Lewis said it best. How do you defend a lion? And it's pretty simple. You just open the cage. He'll take care of business. We are not attorneys for Jesus or the Word. We are witnesses of the blessings of God. And for those of you joining us tonight live on the FM and on the broadcast, excuse me, we've heard some blessings tonight, haven't we? Excuse me. God is blessing. God is he's proven himself faithful time and time again. I'm not trying to convince anyone who Jesus is. I'm just telling him what Jesus has done in my life. From this point on, I'm not going to defend him. I'm not going to defend the Word, because the Word will stand when the world is on fire, an old preacher used to tell me all the time. Jesus, they already tried him in men's court. They sentenced him to die in men's court. And he died under the due process of men's court. They put him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, your situation may look hopeless. I think death is pretty hopeless, don't you? For most of us, death is pretty much the final sentence, is it not? Not where God's involved. Shall anything be impossible to God? Oh, that tore me up. We're called, brothers and sisters, to be witnesses of what our risen Savior has done in our life. Amen. A personal testimony. I don't have to say I don't know. I don't know how he did any of that. I just know that he did. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he turned the water into wine. I just know he did. I don't know how he raised the dead. I just know he did. I don't know how he caused the blind to see and the lame to walk, but he did. I don't know how he caused the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, but he did. And he has transformed my life. The only thing that I know is what he did in my life. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And tonight we're going to talk about vision. And we're going to talk about sight. Oh, that we might receive our sight. Over in Revelation chapter 3, along about the 18th verse, I want you guys to go to Mark chapter 5. But over in Revelation chapter 3, about the 18th verse, talking to the church at Laodicea, you know that lukewarm church. They said, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus said, I would that you would be hot or that you would be cold, but because you're lukewarm, when I come back, I'm going to spew you out or puke you up. He said, go and purchase for me salve for your eyes, that seeing you might see. Go and purchase from me. Yes, sir. Thank you. I don't know what I got. I picked up a tickle. Oh, there was some there I didn't see. This generation and this people need to purchase that eye salve from the Lord and anoint our eyes so that we can see. It's a very familiar passage. It's a very familiar scripture. We quote it all the time. Reading from the King James Version. Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, where there is no supernatural sight, where there is no supernatural direction, the people perish. And if you look it up in the Hebrew and get your Strong's and you look it up in the Hebrew, perish there means to go into pieces or come apart. Where there is no vision, you can go to pieces. Where there is no vision, you'll fall apart. What are we seeing in the world today? There is no vision, and therefore people are falling apart. Therefore people are torn into pieces. People are hurting. Needlessly, people are hurting. I want to teach you tonight in our Bible study about vision versus sight. Now, vision simply is the act of seeing or comprehending, the ability to see, to perceive, to understand clearly, or to have sight. That's vision. Okay? Mark chapter 5. I'm going to give you three different points of view out of the experience at Gadara. You know, the demoniac at Gadara. Very familiar passage, but I'm going to give you three different perspectives. You know, when there's an accident or a crash scene, the cops always go around and ask various people, what was your point of view? I was over here and I saw it. I was over here and I looked. Because if you do that, you can draw a more rounded picture of the events that took place. Amen? So, let's go over to Mark chapter 5. And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Now, it's okay to talk back to me tonight, because I want to make sure you're getting it. So if you're getting it, say amen. If you're with me, say amen. Let me know that you're there. And if not, I'll come and get in front of you and preach to you so that I can make sure that you're getting it. You've got to get this tonight. You've got to get this in your spirit, right? I want you to receive this word with joy and gladness tonight. Amen? Okay. They were in the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He was dirty. He wasn't born again. Matter of fact, we're going to find out that he had devils. Okay? Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one can bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. He's a wild man. I don't know about you, but have you ever been able to break chains apart or tear shackles apart? I saw one guy break a chain one time, and I think that it might have been a pre-sawed link. Every time they tried to chain this guy, just tear him apart. I mean, it would be like them trying to put handcuffs on Superman. All right? Good luck with that. As long as they weren't made from kryptonite. As long as they weren't made of something that was more powerful than him. Right? He was a wild man. And no one could tame him. All right. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. That's still a devil that's loose today. There are still people who cut themselves. That's a devil. I'm just going to call it what it is. That's a devil. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I wish we could untame a few charismatic Pentecostals. We're getting all too sophisticated up in this place. When we come in this place, we want the shackles off your feet so you can dance. Amen. When we come in this place, we want you to be free no matter what the situation is. Amen. This man had between 3,000 and 6,000 demons, depending on your definition of a legion. And I'm just going to tell you, as Pastor Arnold said, it doesn't matter how many devils you have, if your spirit wants free, it will find a way to worship Jesus. Yeah. Can we learn something in Bible study tonight? All right. He ran from afar and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He had light. He knew who he was talking to. Light. If you're taking notes, write this down. I'm going to give you a definition. Light simply represents information or facts. Information or facts. Sight represents comprehension, experience of the light. In the light, he saw Jesus and knew who he was. He had sight. There's Jesus. Now, I always found it amazing. Jesus was in a boat. They put it to shore, and nobody else was worshiping him except the demon-possessed man. Do you know what's wrong with the church in the 21st century, the church of today? We worship based on how we feel. Our worship should not be based on our emotions or how physically how we feel, but our worship is based directly upon our revelation of who Jesus is, our vision of Jesus. You guys have heard Pastor say it a couple of times. He got real close. I'm about ready to run. I don't want to hear you say that no more. You've been ready long enough. Run, therefore, and slack not. Remember what the widow told the servant, her servant boy, when her son, the promise had died? She said, run and spare not. Drive on and spare not. You've been ready long enough. Run. Run in accordance to the Jesus that you know. Remember, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is? And I say that he's worthy of my shout. I say that he's worthy of running. I say that he's worthy of applause. Amen? Amen. Who do you say that he is? Light reveals the situation. It gives you the facts. It's been a big deal for the last couple years. We choose to believe the facts. We want to go with the scientific evidence. Ad nauseum. Jesus gives us sight. I place my trust in the one who said, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's vision. That's sight. Light says there's a plandemic. Light says the current guy won the election. Facts. Pastor Burkhart used to tell us all the time, the figures don't lie, but liars can figure. Remember? The numbers can be manipulated. Just do me a favor. If the Lord calls me home before the rapture, please don't let me vote Democrat. Not being political, just stating a fact. All right? So we're presented with all of these facts. The problem with it is that a lot of times the facts that we're presented with are contrary to the truth. Not only did Jesus say he was the way, he said he was the truth. Amen. Jesus said he was the life. Oftentimes, our facts will be in contrary and in contrast to the truth. The truth of the matter is, God's still on the throne. Yes. The truth of the matter is, things aren't out of control. They're running according to plan. The truth of the matter is that Jesus is coming back and soon. Yes. Sooner than you think. You say, well, that's been said since we were young kids. My grandparents believed that. Well, that just proves the scripture. Peter said in the last days, scoffers will come saying, where is the sign of his appearing? Even if you knew. I heard Pastor Arnold say this. I know. when Jesus is coming back. I know. It's in the Word. People looking at me strangely.
Well, the Bible says, Pastor, the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven.
Well, I know when Jesus is coming back. He told us. In the moment that you think not. Now, I don't know the exact moment, but he's coming back in the moment that you think not. All right. That's light. That's a fact. Now, in order to understand the fact, in order to put the fact together, in order to comprehend the facts, you need to have sight. You see, it's not just enough to have the room lit. You've got to have sight. You've got to have vision. You've got to be able to see what you're looking at. And a lot of times we are not permitted to see what we're looking at. They're given facts, but they don't give you evidence. You know why they do that? Because they want you to go digging. They want you to go on Google. They want you to go wherever you go to get your sources and take you out of the Word. There's the truth. I don't care what the facts say. They're the truth. The truth. The way. The light. You know what that means? That's not a truth. Not a way. Not a life, but the one and only, and his name is Jesus, amen? And John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's the truth. If you're looking outside of it, you're straying. Because the facts will confuse you. As a matter of fact, there are some facts that are made to draw you off the path. There are some facts that are presented to in such a way to draw you away from God. Distraction. We just want the truth. Isn't that what Pilate said? What is the truth? You know, if you think Pilate was confused in his day, what do you think about the people in the modern age, in the age of the interwebs? There are people that are so confused they don't know what's happening. Here is truth. All right? Okay. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." Somebody had told this man that when Jesus comes, y'all going to get it. I'll go over here. I'll preach to this crowd. Somebody had told this man, "Well, when Jesus come, you're gonna get it. You're gonna pay. You in trouble." Did I forget to say that the man was naked? He ran to Jesus and worshiped him naked. He wasn't hiding anything. Smile can hide a lot. Make your head go like that. Somebody say amen. Sometimes all we got to do is put a smile on, and it'll fool a lot of superficial people. This naked man ran when he saw Jesus from afar. He didn't take time to get his clothes on. He didn't take time to change anything. He just knew that if he could get to Jesus, there was relief to be found when he worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you tonight, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what addiction you're facing. It doesn't matter what demons have got you. 6,000 demons can't hold the spirit that wants to get together and worship the God Most High. Amen. Jesus can set you free. You may have been able to break the chains yourself, but you fell right back in. You may have been able to take the manacles off yourself, but you fell right back in. Jesus not only breaks the chain, but he grinds them into powder so that they will never be used on you again. He breaks the ox yoke, and it can't be used. He come to set you free. He come to deliver you. He come that you might have life, and that you might have life abundantly. Wherever you are in Kosciuszko County, surrounding counties tonight, if you're looking for abundant life, let me introduce you to this Jesus. Let me give you this Jesus who is the chain breaking, manacle destroying, shackle removing Son of the living God. Amen. For he said unto them, come out of him, you unclean spirit. He didn't call for a prayer line. He didn't say, go fast for 3 days. Jesus recognized who was doing the talking. He recognized who it was that was motivating this man. And he said, come out of him. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't slap him on the head. He didn't say, Peter, go grab the oil. That's the God I serve. If you're in need tonight, all you need is a word from Jesus. And he will say the same thing over your life that he said over the life of this Gadaran man. He will look into your heart and the demon that is plaguing you, and he will say, come out! Yeah, then he asked him, what is your name? Now Jesus is talking to the devil here. And he answered and said, my name is Legion. For we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. There are certain spirits and devils that get familiar in a territory. They lay claim to certain properties. There are certain things that have been dedicated to the devil, not too far from here, an Indian burial ground where an Indian witch doctor practiced his rites and dedicated the ground to the spirits that he compelled. Territorial devils. Don't let us go out of the country. We like it here. Right. Now a large herd of swine were feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Well, that just blows a lot of people's bad theology about demons won't go into animals. Because it wasn't Jesus said, hey, look, there's some pigs over here. It was the devils that said, hey, look, there's some pigs over here. The devils had sight. Jesus brought the light. Oh, yeah. And they said, if we can't stay in this one fella, send us into the... Now remember, at this time, Peter hadn't seen his vision. The Lord hadn't revealed to him that whatever the Lord created, that he created was called clean. Arise, kill and eat. I know that messes with some of our friends, but the Lord said it, so you can deal with him. Again, I'm not his lawyer. It's just what the Word says. And I like bacon. All right? Pulled pork is mighty good. Okay? I just, the Lord said, rise, kill, and eat. And so, Praise Jesus. So all the demons begged him that they may enter him, and at once Jesus gave them, what's your Bible say there? Wait a minute. Let's ponder on this a little bit. What did the demons tell the man? That he was going to torment him? That he was going to be in trouble? Yet when the devils asked Jesus for permission to go into the swine, he said, help yourself. Go ahead. No, it's not recorded. He said, go ahead, but he gave him permission. I don't know if he nodded. I don't know if he went. I don't know. You know, I don't know what he did. Pastor Jose, love you. He gave them permission. So you mean that if one man possessed by 3,000 to 6,000 devils, if he wants to come and worship at Jesus' feet, falling down and worshiping him, naked as a jaybird, that 6,000 devils can't stop him? You see, he saw something in Jesus maybe that we don't. He saw something in Jesus that perhaps needs to be back in the church in 2022. Because he saw his freedom. He saw his liberator. He saw his provider. He saw the one with the keys to remove and destroy the chains.
Yes. Well, I just don't want to clap my hands on Sunday morning, Pastor. I just don't feel like it. I just can't worship on command. You will worship in direct proportion to who Jesus is in your life.
That's right.
I'm hoping this Sunday that I'm seeing some worshipers here. Because if I'm not, this word will come back to haunt you when you stand before Jesus. When he said, I had your pastor stand before you and explain to you that you worship in direct proportion to what you think I am. I would hate to be some of us in 100 years from now. Well, Lord, I really wasn't taught. And then the Lord goes back to, you remember when you watched a video on Facebook? I probably just lost half of you. You remember when you watched a video on Facebook on the 25th of May, 2022, and that pastor was saying, you worship me according to what you feel that I am, what you think I am in your life, and according to how you receive me is how you offer up your praise and how you offer up your alms to me? Well, yeah, but I just thought that guy was nuts. Pastor Burkhart used to say, I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. I ain't making no defense of him. Don't have to. I'm just telling you what happened to me when the Lord released me from my inhibitions and I began to praise him. I began to, I wanted to take you back to 1994. I can show you a tape. I've got a tape somewhere of a 1994 meeting where the Lord set an old Baptist boy free and I got liberated and I got set free in my spirit and the Lord began to bless and the Lord began to move and I've never looked back one time. Now, there's been times that I slowed down a little bit. There have been times that I wondered, Lord, am I even making progress? There have been times that I wondered, but I've never, ever, ever once said I quit. I remember reading the story of John's disciple, Polycarp, John the Beloved. And they came with a compromise for Polycarp. They said, you can keep your Jesus. All you need to do is say, Caesar is Lord. Well, you can have your Jesus. All you got to do is, you know, take this mark.
Well, you can keep your Jesus. All you got to do is bow down and worship this one who calls himself God, who elevates himself to be God. For Polycarp, it was Caesar. And he said, 80 years I've served him. And not once has he denied me. I will not deny him now. And he laid his head on a chopping block and they took it from him. Not one time has the Lord denied me. And he will not deny me when I stand in his presence, because I have not denied him, and I will give him from the bottom of my heart with every fiber of my being. He is worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my worship. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine that were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place and into the sea and were drowned in the sea. It's amazing. They didn't want to be taken out of the country, but even the dirty animals took them into the deep. I'll come back around. Maybe I'll say that again. Maybe I'll give you a chance. Maybe that'd be, you know, even the dirty animals know where devils go.
Yep.
All right. I got to hurry. And they were drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus. And they saw the one who... Now there's a funny little word right here. Who had, past tense. Demon-possessed, who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And then they were afraid. They weren't afraid when he was breaking off chains and fetters and shackles. They weren't afraid then. They weren't afraid when he was in the tombs at night and in the mountains and in the hills howling like a crazy man. They weren't afraid then. But you let a Jesus encounter happen. Let the devils be gone. And people get afraid. Well, I heard you got religion. There's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe the fact that he ain't naked no more, but I don't know. He was sitting with Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. Now, what does that say? That means that we can be in our right mind, or we can be in another mind. You say, well, what's the right mind? Well, Acts chapter 2 tells us pretty good that in one mind and one accord, that's the right mind. He came into an accord, into one mind with Jesus Christ. Now watch this. I probably should paraphrase this for time. They were afraid of the man they should have been afraid of, when he had a devil. But there's a thing called a familiar spirit. And you ain't afraid of somebody that's got the same devils that you... Oh, you ain't here. You ain't afraid of someone that's toying with the same demons that you toying with. But now they've been set free and you ain't quite ready to let yours go yet. Oh, yeah. Don't you think that Jesus could have said to them, come out? Don't you think Jesus could have said the same thing? I mean, don't you think that here is, they saw who he was. They saw what he done. They saw the works that he done. Here is a man that's been set free, delivered in his right mind and clothed. And they turned around to Jesus and they said, leave us. You need to go. Jesus, you need to go. Get out of here. Depart from us. And you know what Jesus did? He said, okay. Listen very carefully to the connotation. How many times have people sat in these pews and rejected Jesus' invitation? These people told him one time to go. And he left. That is sight. You can see what happens when they reject Christ. And you will never find again where Jesus went back to the Gadarene region. Now the apostles would go back there and something wonderful happened. Because the man who was clothed and in his right mind, who had been released, he said, go back and tell your friends what has happened to you. And when the apostles went through that region, there was a church there. He had planted a church there. Jesus didn't, it seems cruel that Jesus would not take him, but Jesus knew. Let me just tell you something. I don't know if I'm talking to an alcoholic tonight. I don't know if I'm talking to a drug addict tonight. I don't know if I'm talking to a demon-possessed person tonight, but this same Jesus that did a work in this man can do the same work in you, and he can start a revival in your house and in your region if you will allow him to. He can make a difference in you. It's going to freak some of the people out. They're going to be scared when they see you set free and preaching the gospel.
Amen.
They ain't going to know how to take you. Matter of fact, they're going to get a little bit uncomfortable. The point that I need to make right there, though, is if you decide to reject Jesus, the Gadarene countrymen only had one chance. And they said, go from us. Not today. Remember King Agrippa? Come back some more convenient time. It's never recorded. Right? Jesus will let you go to hell if that's your choice. Oh, you Christians, you're always trying to tell us what to do. No, we're not. We're just trying to show a little light on the better way.
Amen.
A more excellent way. The way that leads unto life. Well, if I do that, then I'd have to quit this and I'd have to quit that. You know, Jesus didn't make me quit one thing I was doing. When he changed my heart said, I don't need that. What do I need to drink for? I got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What do I need to get high for? I got Jesus. What do I need that for? I got this. What do I need to go out and do things for? What do I need to sin for? I got the Lord. And like that old group used to sing a lot, I got the Lord, and that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. He's all I'll ever need.
Amen.
And he's been more to me than any substitute that the devil could have ever provided.
Amen.
When you get the genuine article, when you get the genuine deal, you don't need the knockoff Rolex. You don't need the knockoff thing. You, and matter of fact, you can go to bed. The best sedative at night is a clear conscience.
Amen.
If I go to sleep here, if my head hits the pillow here, and I open my eyes in glory, I'm going to be before my King. And I'm going to be worshiping. And I'm not going to wait. I'm going to mess with some of you. I don't want you to wait either. This is our preparation area. I don't want anybody getting ready to run anymore. If the Lord tells you to run, I want you to make yourself laps. If the Lord tells you to clap, I want you to clap with all that's in you. If the Lord says, I want you to raise holy hands, I want you to raise holy hands. If the Lord says, I need to talk to you here at these altars, I want you on the altars. It doesn't matter. I can preach around that. There's liberty in the house of the Lord. You say, well, some pastors don't like it when they're preaching. You know what? I think the prophet said that to Hannah too, didn't he? What are you doing up here? You making a mess, you drunk up here and she had prayed herself out, and she had prayed till only stammering lips were there, and she said, Oh my Lord, I'm not drunk as you suppose. I've got a petition before God. I'm begging him for a son. I'm petitioning God. I've got a hold of the horns of the altar, and I prayed until nothing else will come. What if she'd have quit? See, about a year later, Samuel was born. Some of us are this close to our breakthrough. Some of us, we let our dignity get in the way. Oh, I need a miracle, Lord. I need to hear from you, Lord. I need to be on that altar, but I don't know what Phil's going to say. What if Hannah had got up and said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make such a fuss. I've only been praying for this for years. Some of us are so close to our breakthrough. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let any devil this side of hell turn you around. Don't let any preacher turn you around. You press through until you touch heaven. Amen. You get a hold of the horns of the altar and you shake that thing until something begins to shake in your life. God will shake the foundations of earth to get to you if you're serious to get to Him. Ooh, oh my goodness. Three examples. A man who needed delivered and knew it. Saw Jesus from afar. Pastor, we've had people that come to us and say, you know, I got to give up some stuff, but I'll get to church as soon as I clean myself up. Well, if I would come, the roof would fall. I'll come as soon as I get some things straightened out. If you want free, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, any devil this side of hell can do to stop you. If a legion of demons couldn't stop the demoniac from coming to Jesus without thought for himself, only thought for who this was. You see, the vision was that the Messiah was going to come to Israel. The sight was recognizing who he was when he came. The Pharisees had vision. They saw who he was in the light. They saw Jesus in the light of day. The Apostle Paul told him, he said, we didn't do anything in secret. Nothing was done in secret. They saw him. They saw Jesus. Matter of fact, they saw him as that thing from now. Remember in our reading a couple days ago in our devotion, can any good thing come from Nazareth? How is this the Messiah? Are not his mother and brothers here? How is this the Messiah? They saw him in the light. What did Nicodemus tell him? Master, we know that you are one sent from God because no one could do the works that you do except God send him. They saw him in the light. He was illuminated before them. But they did not see him for who he was. That's deep. That's deep. You see, they saw the facts of who Jesus was. They could not deny the facts of who he was. They knew in the light who he was. But because he ate with sinners and publicans, and because he hung out with the undesirables. Oh, I thank God he hangs out with undesirables. Because I was less than desirable. Even when you dress me up real good, I'm still not most desirable, and most people will agree. But the one that matters won't. 3.5 years, they saw him, they watched him, they observed him. And you know what happens with religious folks who, you can know the word inside and out, but until you know the master, it's just words. Until you know the master, you'll say stupid stuff like, well, I like the God of the New Testament because he's nice and loving, but I don't like that God of the Old Testament. Well, you better get over to the end of the book and start reading the end of the book, honey, because that God is coming back and he's going to rule and he's going to judge this world in righteousness. And judgment, hello, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. I'm not even anywhere close to my nose. Too many distractions. The devil knows that his time is short, and so he is placing distraction after distraction after distraction. Let me just tell you, as I started in the beginning, here is the truth. Your Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Here is truth. Here is truth. The one who needed free saw the Savior. The demons saw the King. The rich country folk, remember they were raising swine, which was forbidden to them, by the way. Have not we been in Leviticus lately? Cloven hoof, but do not chew the cud? They were forbidden to touch them. And I happen to know that you can't raise animals without touching them. So what were they doing? If they weren't eating them, what were they doing? They were profiting if they were selling them to Gentiles. They were profiting off of the forbidden thing, the unclean thing. Don't be telling me you're a Christian and you support abortion. They're profiting off of the unclean thing. Don't be telling me you're a Christian and you pro-choice. Don't be telling me you're a Christian and you support every little thing coming down the pike. Don't be telling me you're a Christian and you support abomination, what the Lord says is an abomination, because you're not. And Jesus is coming. And what did they say? Oh, Jesus, get away. You get out of here. We don't want your kind here. We like that loving God that we violated the first commandment. We have another God before you. We created a God that's all loving, and he's just, he's like an old grandpa that likes to give out suckers to the kids when they come around. He don't look at sin. He just pats us on the head and said, you can be good in your iniquity, and I love you, and you all going to go to heaven. That's a lie from the devil. You violated commandments number one and number two. You put up another God, a false God, in his place, and then you've created a graven image. You've created another God that's okay with your sin. Do you know what God thinks of sin? It's serious to him. Well, all you got to do is look over into Romans 6 and 23. You're going to find out that the wages of sin is not heaven. In the Koine Greek, it means eternal separation from God. And that's not like the smoking section down at the bowling alley. Smokers over here. No, it is eternal separation. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God. Oh, three types of people represented. One wanted free. The others ran from Jesus, put us into the swine. And the others came and said, you get out of here. We don't need you around here. All three personalities exist today. I don't know who I'm ministering to tonight. There may be somebody watching tonight and you've been battling a secret addiction for years. Let me just tell you, Jesus is the chain breaker. Amen. Jesus, you may be battling something that it seems like you get free from it for a week and then back into it again. Let me just tell you, Jesus can set you free. We're here to help. If you want to be free, you reach out to us because we will introduce you to this Jesus and he will speak into your life. And all we need is a word from the Lord and then we can be set free, we can be delivered, and we can be healed and restored and in our right mind. That's all we need, a word from the Lord. Don't be like the ones that say, Lord, send us away. Don't be like the ones that come here and the Lord begins to move and the Lord begins to plead and the Lord begins to move in their heart and they fight with him and they struggle with him and you can see them gripping the back of the seat and they walk out that door. You don't know if you're coming back tomorrow. I don't want to desensitize this, but our flag is at half staff because 18 mommies and daddies took their kids to school yesterday. And they went and picked up their lunch boxes and their shoes. It was heinous. You don't know that you're going to make it home tonight. Pastor McCarty used to say, we don't know that right now there's not someone turning a key in an automobile that is destined to take us into eternity. Don't turn away from him. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Tomorrow is promised to no man. He was in the light, but only one had sight. The difference between light and sight is light represents information or facts. Sight is the comprehension of that light. Sight is the vision or truth. Saul saw the light on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9. Saul received letters to go to Damascus, and I'm going to paraphrase because I'm out of time. And verse number 3, it says, as he journeyed, suddenly a light shone round about him. He was in the light. He heard a voice. But when it was all over, he had no sight. There are a lot of people that are walking in the light, but they have no sight. A lot of people claim to read the Word, which is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. But if you don't know the Master, if you don't know the Author, you can be in the light and be blind, as was Saul of Tarsus. Skip on down to verse number 10 if you're there. Verse number 9 says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And verse number 10 says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now, how many of you is he's one of your favorite disciples? Because he wasn't part of the 12, was he? He wasn't there, but he was in Damascus. His name was Ananias. And the Lord called on him. Now watch this. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street that is called Straight. Importance about the street called Straight. You know how you get to heaven, right? You turn right and stay straight. All right, that's Uncle Lindsay, if you're watching, I stole that from you. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his... Without vision, the people or fall. One version says they cast off all restraint and just run amok. Hello, 2022. Hello, 2022. Without vision, the people perish. Saul had no sight. He was praying. He had heard the voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, but who are you, Lord? You know, when you see a light go all around you and you hear a voice like thunder and it knocks you, well, off your donkey. It'll get your attention. Isn't it amazing sometimes God has to do that with us? I don't want a show of hands, but sometimes God just has to knock us right off our donkey. Biblical donkey. Or right on it. I don't want one or the other. Verse number 13. Ananias gets that Baptist bone going. Well, if the Lord tells you to do something, that's fine, but just make sure it's the Lord. Oh, did I go there? Did that come out that? Oh, my goodness. All right, love you guys. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I would have, but I just wasn't sure. Well, if that's all the devil has to do, I mean, he don't even have to send 6,000 to you. He just sends one little doubt. He just take one little fiery dart and get it in the ear hole of your helmet of salvation. Ooh, yeah, it's all over. Game over. Well, can I paraphrase this? Because I had this thought, I had this in my head, this conversation. Lord, that's that guy that's going around torturing us believers. They're going to make us go into quarantine and shut down our church, Lord. He's got letters of authority, Lord. Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. Many. What is light? Facts. Evidence. He wasn't lying. He had heard the reports. I don't even think they even had fake news back then. He had heard the reports. Lord, I've heard from many. Well, I was just down to the Google Cafe and they're saying that this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. Lord, I've heard the reports. You see? They're being illuminated. Things are coming to light. What was Saul praying for? Sight. You see, you can be in the light and every bad thing in the world, every election fraud, every virus thing, every fake thing, every fake vaccine, everything can be thrown at you and you can be overwhelmed if you choose to, unless you have sight to see through the light. Unless you can focus on the truth, it will tear you up and destroy you. And there are a lot of Christians today that are in the light, but they need their sight. I'll amen that. I'll amen it. There are a lot of Christians today that are worrying and carrying burdens that they were never meant to carry because they see in the light, but they are not have sight. Remember, this world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. All right. Oh, I'm on overtime. And how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, well, okay, let's just wait. The Lord said, you know what? Maybe you're right, Ananias. Maybe I picked the wrong guy. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart, it's not a mistake. I'm preaching better than y'all. Amen. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart, they've been praying, Lord, send somebody. If the Lord lays them on your heart, Ananias, I don't care if he's been putting Christians in prison. If the Lord lays him on your heart, he says, let's wrap this up. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, wait, you thought you want to be a pastor? You want to be a pastor, huh? Pastor Burkhart used to ask us that all. You want to be a pastor? I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer, how many things he must endure for the gospel's sake. You want to see? You want to see? You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to endure some stuff, okay? And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and laying hands on him. Now watch. Watch. Very carefully. Laying hands on him, the tormentor of the brethren, the one that caused so much destruction, the one that caused so much pain, the one that caused so much harm. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, you got to receive your sight, then be filled with the Holy Ghost and be led by the Holy Ghost, because there's too much in the light that is going to confuse you and too much in the light that's going to detain you and to distract you. You've got to be not only be walking in the light, but have the sight of the Holy Ghost in you. The light reveals the predicament you're in. But the sight reveals the truth of the situation. 2 Kings chapter 6, just real hurry, I'm going to quote it. You all know it, it's very familiar. The king of the Syrian army, the king of the Syrians, said, there's a prophet over in Israel that hears what I say in my bedroom. I'm paraphrasing. Every time that he would set up an ambush for the king of Israel, the prophet would say, hey, don't go this way. And the king of Israel would send runners down, send observers down. And sure enough, there the Syrians were. Now, I don't know what he was thinking. But if you've got a man of God that knows the intent and every plan that you make and every word that you say, I don't know that it's going to be such a good idea that you go find out that he's in Dothan, and so you go down there and circle the city. What was he thinking? See, the devil don't make any sense. Are you ready? Let me give you a spoiler here. Get ready, because it's going to make you shout. If it don't make you shout, these altars are open. When the devil is afraid of you, he's going to try to stop you. When the devil sees you getting close to where God wants you, he's going to send helpers to delay you, to distract you. He's going to send helpers to slow you down, to discourage you. The servant Gehazi went out. I don't know, maybe he's checking the eggs. I don't know, getting water. Who knows what he was doing? In the morning, he went out and he looked. And all around the city, the Syrian army, and this representation is the devil's army, all around the city were chariots and horsemen. That, my friends, is light. He saw in the light. He ran back in to the prophet, to the man of God. Master, master, they've come for you. They're surrounded. The city's circled. No way out! Man of God said, Lord, open his eyes and give him sight that he might see. He said, now, go on back out there, Gehazi, and take another look. Tell me what you see. You see, in the light, you see the situation. In the light, you see the predicament. In the light, you see the trouble and the mountain high. But when the vision comes, when vision is imparted, you see, where there is no vision, the people perish. My people are destroyed all day long for lack of knowledge. When the vision comes, Lord, let him see. Lord, let them see tonight. that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Well, you all know the story. I can quit there. I don't know that you can receive it. I don't know that you're ready. I done preached myself silly. You got a shout of triumph in you yet? Remember, the Syrian army was encamped about the entire city. Nobody in, nobody out. The man of God said, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Lord, open their eyes. Lord, we need vision from on high. We need direction from on high. Lord, we need to see with the eyes of the men of God and the eyes of the prophet. And Gehazi went out the door, and behold, all around the Syrian army encircled were chariots of fire.
Amen.
Oh, and great warring angels. The army of God had encamped around the army of the enemy. And you know what? You know what? I think Elijah kind of got liking them fiery chariots. You know, because he just said, Lord, when it's my time to go, why don't you just send me one of them? I like that one. Isn't it about time that we say, Lord, open our eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you high and lifted up. Now let me close with this, and I'm over time. I apologize. It's been such a good word. I'm almost afraid to apologize because the Lord might rebuke me. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. You see, this distinguishes how you worship. If you just see Jesus as a good teacher, as a good man who went around doing good deeds, then you'll be able to sit Sunday in your pew. All right, well, they're singing hallelujah again. What am I going to do here? Man, I got a time slot down at the roadhouse. Oh, it's Memorial Day weekend. Man, the 500's going to start. I mean, it's only a four-hour race. I got to see the start. Heaven forbid I miss the start, because I know all them cars are going to be there at the end. Unless you see Jesus like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, I'm a woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And an angel took a coal from off of the altar and touched his lips. You see, when we get our heart right, our lips will get right. When we get our heart pure, our lips will be pure. When we get our heart pure, our thoughts will be pure. We'll be clothed and sitting in our right mind at his feet. The Lord comes along a little bit later, and I'm done. I got to quit. The Lord comes along a little bit later, and he says, who shall I send? Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Jesus is asking today, who can I send? Who will go? And if you know who He is and you've got the right view and the right perspective of who He is, you will be like Isaiah and says, here am I, Lord, send me. Now you have light and vision or sight. What you do with it is now on you. Once you hear the truth, what you do with it is your responsibility. But I assure you tonight, my friends, you have heard the truth. What is your perspective of Jesus? What is your view of Jesus? Read through this again. Read through this again. What type of the three people are you? And say, Lord, like the blind man that Jesus asked, what do you want me to do? Remember what he said? Lord, I might receive my sight. Father, I thank you. I love you. And Lord God, I just ask that you would restore the sight to the blind. Those who have been stumbling along, those who have been confused by the obstacles that were revealed in the light. Lord, give us your sight. Give us, Lord, your vision. Lord, we don't want to perish. We don't want to fall to pieces. We don't want to come apart. Put your vision in our hearts for this world. Touch our lips with a coal of fire. Then we will say, here am I, Lord. Send me. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For you alone, Lord, are worthy. And it's in your blessed and sacred name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.